I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Stompcast with me, Dr. Alex George. This is the podcast where I go for a walk with a guest to take a little wander into their life. This week I'm stomping with Estee Lalonde. Estee is an influencer with over 2 million followers and one of the OG beauty YouTubers. Estee moved to London over a decade ago and has cultivated a loyal community who have grown with her over the years following her beauty and skincare tips, alongside her openness around her own struggles with anxiety and depression, and a general ability to just share all. As well as content creation, Estee has founded her own business, Mirror Water, which is a brand for people who like wellness but are tired of being told how to be well. I'm looking forward to getting some of Estee's self-care tips. How did she decide to build a brand? Was that off the back of her own self-care? Let's find out. Ultimately, everyone's toolkit for looking after themselves is different, and I'm very conscious on the Stompcast that we hear lots of different voices, different backgrounds, different experiences, because that enriches the environment and community that is the Stompcast. So let's learn more about a different way of self-care. You're going to hear in this conversation, in part one, that ultimate guide to self-care according to Estee. Part two is going to be about antidepressants, breaking the stigma, and just accepting that sometimes we need some help, and that's cool. Part three, we're going to talk about setting boundaries and how someone with a public profile can find that balance between sharing and peace. But also, if you have 100 followers and you want to understand, well, do I share that baby pic? Do I need to share my fiance online? Well, hopefully we're going to work out that balance and have some advice on what to do. Guys, it's going to be a great conversation and we're going to dive in. Welcome to the Stompcast.
How are you? This is happening.
I enjoy. We did a little warm up there, doing a little piece of your vlog for your YouTube channel.
Yes.
It was kind of fun. I'm going to be like on your like million plus subs
I
page.
Think people
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Already know who you are, I think people are going to be doing lots of commenting about you.
Oh,
whenever I have a on camera, watch out. They're like vultures.
That's so funny. And I should say as well, Abby, who's with us, my Abby, but off of my team, has followed you for a long time.
Oh, amazing.
YouTube channel and stuff. So she's been excited. Any abs to come along? You've been excited today.
You've seen it all then.
So it's really cool. I mean, you've kind of built this like community, and like YouTube is such an impressive space, I think, to build such a massive community, because it's really quite hard, isn't it, to build that and have a genuine community for a long period of time.
I think
so. Well done. It's
well,
really awesome.
Thank you. I've been thinking a lot about that. Thank you. Because it's one thing to grow a following. Well, first of all, I can't grow a following on TikTok. That's not really who I am. But it's one thing to grow it, and it's a whole other thing to maintain it for like almost 15 years.
Mm. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. What do you, why do you think you can't do it on TikTok? Of course you can.
Oh God, TikTok is just so more now fast.
It's very different. TikTok is what I've kind of learned, I think, and I'm very much not an expert of TikTok at all, but it's volume. It's,
yes.
It's like 2 to 3 posts every day.
Yeah.
And posting about the smallest things as well as the biggest things, and just doing lots of it. It just feels like very different. Whereas YouTube, to me, feels like there's a lot more like you create like something that's perhaps, I don't want to say, but it's not rude to myself on TikTok, but the quality and the thought that goes into the video, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe a lot higher.
You just also have a lot more time to express yourself, I would say. So whenever I think about doing a TikTok, I'm like, okay, how can I cram this into a 30-second snippet? I can't. That's just like, sure.
Essentially. But anyway, that point of community is, it is so impressive. To kind of, there's one thing to have a couple of viral videos, but to build like that kind of community is incredible. Anyway, we're gonna talk about that balance of that in the third part, because I'm quite interested about like, how do you find the balance of privacy and stuff? And for anyone listening thinking, okay, fine, but you know, for me listening, I may or may not have a big following, but
privacy and social media is something that I think applies to everyone, because whether you've got like 200 or 300 followers, you're still trying to work out like, what do I share? What's too much? Do I put the baby photos online? Do I not have baby photos
online? Age-old questions.
All these kind of things are things we're perhaps still learning about. So we'll talk about that in part three. So let's start this one, because we are in part one, and think about self-care. You know, you started your brand. You've got your very lovely cap on, which has mirror water on
always
the top of it.
Always promoting.
Which is brilliant. I don't have my stomp cap today. I really should have my green cap, but there we go. Pretty cool that you've built your own brand around this. But it's something you genuinely care about, and you talk about it a lot, even within like kind of beauty routines or skincare routines and things, that actually it's as much about the process of doing it and how you feel as the end result of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting one, because often we think of things like skincare, like, okay, so what's that going to do with my skin? How much going to hydrate me? But perhaps there's a big part of it that we don't think about so much. So I wonder if you could talk to us a little bit about
that. I can talk
about
this a lot. Yeah. I love ingredients and products, and I've worked in the beauty space for so long now that, of course, ingredients are important to me. And even my skincare routine, I mean, that's like 15, 20 steps. Mm. Like, I'm not playing when it comes to my skincare. And of course I want those physical benefits of hydration and whatever, but for me, it's always been about taking time for myself and prioritizing myself. Mm. Even if I come home at 2 or 3 in the morning, which is very rare, I will still do my skincare routine because it's my time to completely decompress.
Do you still do it at 2 or 3 in the morning?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, because I must be honest, like, I don't really drink it. Well, I don't drink anymore. And so it's very rare I'm out late. But if I do come home at midnight, which is late for me, I'm like, right, brush my teeth in bed. So I do, I got to admit, I drop it off. So I'm really impressed.
At least you brush the teeth.
Yeah, I can't. Like, I just can't. Because I wear a retainer as well. I want to brush my teeth.
I'm learning a lot about you.
I'm really sharing. Part three is going to be interesting, sharing and oversharing. But I whack the retainers in after having fresh. There's nothing worse, is it? You wake up in the morning, you've got like that sticky mouth. Oh,
man.
No one wants that.
I haven't felt that in a long time.
And
I
brush my teeth. Next to me. My dog sleeps next to me in the bed, so he doesn't want that in the morning.
No, of course not. Of course
not.
Poor
guy. He doesn't need that. So you really value that routine.
I really value that. And it's really, I live a very busy life. Although some people think I don't have a busy life. They think all I do is get my nails done and my eyebrows done. But actually, you know, running a company is quite time consuming, I would say.
Especially founding one. So like starting it, it's your baby.
Yeah. And creating content in itself, you know, is a lot. So for me, my time to chill is often a hot shower, a bath if I'm lucky on the weekends, and my skincare routine, my body care routine. They're really things just for me. If I don't have that time, I can't kind of like put all the pieces together in my brain about how my week's been or my day's been. You know, that's just how I function, to be
honest. When you're doing your, I think you said 15 step, was it? Skincare routine. Do you think about what the day's been or how the week's gone or things, or do you zone out? Is it like a meditative state, or is it like I'm going to process things and think about things?
It depends on the day, but I do think there's like a lot of breathing. You might have just heard that sigh because I was already getting in the space of like,
you're
taking
ready to start.
We
could do it on the, that'd be a new on the stomp cast.
Let's do it now.
Let's do our skincare routine while recording a stomp cast. I'm down.
But I think as the process of like taking off your makeup and cleansing your skin and your body, it is meditative, of course, but yeah, I'm thinking a lot as well. I'm thinking like, oh, that weird thing I said today. God, I called that person Claire when her name's actually Charlotte. That happened to me last night.
I am really bad with, and I now like blame ADHD, which is not fair on ADHD, but I really blame that it's on that. But I really struggle with names and faces as well.
I know.
I don't think I've got that because I'd never heard it before, but like it's kind of facial blindness or recognition where you can't see, you just can't see, you can't remember people's faces. I don't think it's that far. But I do struggle with faces sometimes.
Matching the face to name.
As soon as someone tells me something, I can remember everything about their life. The whole thing comes back. So it's like the part of my brain that seems to like bring that file to the front. It's clearly just a bit dodgy.
I must have that too.
We've got dodgy filing systems,
yes,
maybe.
Yes, and that's probably why I need so much time to reorganize things in my brain. Maybe I have ADHD.
Maybe there it is.
You're a doctor. Can you diagnose it?
You need to see a specific verse on that one, I'm afraid. But I certainly, funny enough, actually, someone stopped me the conversation around ADHD is a really big one. And I had someone stop me this morning walking Rolo, and who's a young lady who's just out of university, and said, like, seen your content about this, and they wanted to kind of get assessed. And what she said to me was really interesting, that she was really surprised about what ADHD actually is, because there's quite a misconception of, like, young, it's like a boy usually bounces around the classroom,
yeah,
doesn't sit still. But that's actually quite a lesser presentation than most of, especially for women. It tends to be very different. It can be very inside the mind rather than external presentation, which is quite interesting. And actually, wow, the fact that you're a creative as well does make it more likely. Like, if you're, yeah, a CEO, if you start a company, you're creative,
oh,
you,
God,
live on the fringes, it's perhaps more likely. And that's because we often find ourselves in situations. I'm really not diagnosing.
No, but really, I'm not also not ruling it out.
But it's really, it's just that you brought that up. It's very interesting. People don't necessarily understand what it is.
Yeah, I have had a lot of conversations with women who have ADHD, mm, that are trying to kind of bring the topic to the surface a bit more about what ADHD looks like in women. And it is sort of considered this like thing that guys only get, you know,
yeah,
like, but actually that's not the case.
2 million people in the UK that have ADHD that are undiagnosed.
Wow.
So it's a significant number of people that don't realize they have it, and unfortunately then can't perhaps adapt how they approach life to benefit,
yeah,
from it. Because so much, funny enough, that's what we also talked about this morning with this lady, was that so much, it's not just about, like, I got diagnosed, right, I'm gonna take a medication. Actually, I'd say that's a really, for a lot of people, that's down the line, or it might not even be something they use. A lot of it, 80-90%, is just understanding yourself and adapting the way that you approach the world, but also other people understanding why you are a certain way.
Sure.
And often that is the vast majority of what needs to happen.
And being a little easier on yourself.
Yeah.
When you do something that, you know, like forget a name or something like,
yeah,
that.
Now I'm like, it's taken me, Abby will vouch this, it's taken me 2 years to learn my new number.
Oh, gosh.
Which is really embarrassing when you keep telling. I told this story in the stomach class before, but so sorry if you've heard it. But whenever someone asks me, like, say I've got a, you know, I was buying trainers the other day and you had to put for the receipt, you,
yeah,
put a number in. Oh, yeah. Got, to be fair, I did actually remember it this time. But until recently, I'd had to say, sorry, I got a new number. But new number was like 18 months ago or something.
But British phone numbers are like 5 billion digits.
There are quite a few.
So,
why is it less digits for Canadian,
yeah,
numbers, isn't it? So
definitely.
There's less digits.
Less digits. I was going to say a Canadian number, but that's my mom's phone number. It's,
yeah,
the only,
so don't,
one I
share,
know,
your,
so I'm not going to say that.
Number on. So we won't share your mum's number. But anyway,
no,
we took a terrible tangent then. So let's go. This, see, ADHD. There you go.
There you go.
Let's wind on back and go into the calm space of your 15-step skincare. So you take a little breath and you pause, and you're going to do, it might be 2 a.m, but you're still going to do it. So yeah, talk me through what happens with your mind when you kind of do this. I think it's really useful because the people listening, whether you do skincare, whether you know you're a guy that's listening, that's got, whether you want to play guitar, I think it's useful just to think about,
sure,
what gets you into this headspace.
Yeah, I think it's just about slowing down, getting away from the screens, which I love screens. Yeah. Like, I'm always watching something on Netflix or, you know, on my phone or whatever. But this is really my time to just let go, which is so hard to do. I'm like someone who always holds on to emotions and everything and is so hard on myself. So it's almost like a little conversation with myself when I can look at the mirror and just think, you know, you're a good person. You're trying your best. You know, I know that sounds like really cringe, but sometimes you can be so hard on yourself and you can be like, oh, I messed this up today, or that didn't go the way I thought it was going to be, or, you know, all of these things. But actually, you need to sort of take time to count the wins, I guess. And I wouldn't consider myself someone who is going to sit around and gratitude journal. Mm. Just not really for me.
Yeah, cool.
But it's a, in a way, like an inner gratitude sort of practice, I would say.
It's kind of, it basically is gratitude journaling.
Yeah.
Like,
in the mind.
Affirmation. Yeah, it's all different kind of ways of doing it. When you say about, because you mentioned there being, reminding yourself that you're a good person, do you ever think that you're not a good person?
Oh gosh, here we go. I don't think so, but sometimes maybe I feel like I'm not doing enough. Mm. Maybe rather than good person, bad person, it's more sort of like you didn't get around to calling that friend that you said you were going to call. You didn't do this. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I'm not doing enough.
Mm. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's interesting because when I bumped into you just then, we were like, oh, hey, how are you excited for the Stompcast? Like, oh, the people I know said that you're really good, or good human, I think you said.
Yes.
I was like, oh, well, because I always sit uncomfortably with it because I always find it, because I think in my own mind, I've got a very strong inner critic and in a voice, and I think it turns on your definition of good human, doesn't it?
Sure.
I think I kind of spend a lot of time, or can certainly if I'm not careful, thinking, oh, but I didn't do this, so I should have done that, or
yeah,
you know, was I, you know, did I, could have done more to help that person, or did I bugger that up? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there we go. And I certainly find that a challenge. I don't know whether that's something that you can relate to, but it's sometimes hard to be like, no, actually, look at the world around you, think about what, you know, good and what bad people there are out there.
Sure.
Oh, actually, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
That's sometimes quite hard when you're, because it all depends on almost your yardstick, doesn't it?
Totally.
What you define and perhaps the unrealistic expectations. We talk about unrealistic expectations of body stuff, but actually you can easily do that in your mind.
Yes.
Like this is success, this is being a good person, this is being like worthy.
Yeah, I actually saw you had a chat with Emma Gannon, and she said something about like milestone success or something.
Milestone anxiety and success and stuff. She's
so
amazing.
True. That is that's me. It's like when I get here, you know, then I'll be complete or whatever it is. It's just obviously not how life works, you know.
It's kind of that. I liked one of the points that Emma made around life doesn't have to be this like one long narrative of like. Yeah. A like linear process. It's like a collection of experiences and moments, and you as a person, it's like that tapestry feeling of your life, rather than being like we're a continuous work in progress or whatever, and then you feel like, oh gosh, well I buggered this up a few years ago or whatever, therefore I can never now be like it's all screwed.
Yes,
that all or nothing thinking, which
well
quite unhelpful for being nice to yourself, isn't
it? Especially when you think of it in terms of success, which is something I've been thinking a lot about, because obviously I've started my brand, and you know what it's like to have your own brand or start your own company. You know, every day, one day it might be the best day, the next it might be the worst day ever, and the whole company is going to fail.
Do you know, he had a really good explanation of what it's like, I think, to be a founder or CEO or something, and I've certainly experienced this in my life, is that you feel these incredible highs but incredible lows, like almost the extremes of your emotion are very high and low, and they can change a lot. It's like you're gonna have an amazing day where something's going really well, then the next day you find out something that plummets you down, or something, there's a real challenge, or something's gone really wrong, and you're like, oh my gosh, how has this happened? And all of a sudden you swung to the other end.
Yeah.
And I think that it's
exhausting.
That it's up and down, and it's navigating that. And that's why the self-care stuff is really important, because that stuff's all gonna happen anyway. That external reality stuff is just happening. The only way we can go through that, regardless whether you're a CEO or not, or you're starting up a company or whatever it is, you still, or go doing a degree, whatever you're doing in your life, you still got to manage that internal reality stuff, haven't you? Otherwise, you're not going to navigate it.
Exactly. And, you know, there is a chance that I might fail and this company does fail. And I really hope that's not true because I love it so much. But I've been kind of having to talk myself down a little bit and just think, okay, well, if it doesn't work out, you've tried, you know, you've done your best, and you still deserve to, like, be a human being and be happy afterwards. Whereas so I think like there have been times when I've been in the depths of that, and I think if I fail at this company and this brand, like I am going to have to move to Timbuktu because I won't be able to face my reality.
It's kind of that detachment theory stuff, isn't it? Like when you become so attached to something, it starts to kind of feel like the whole definition of you is attached to the success or failure of this thing, whatever that might be. And you see it a lot with athletes as well. Mm. It's like, I am a good person if I am successful at this football career, or I'm really fast on this running track. But if I'm not, then who am I? But anyone else can look at that and go, oh, that doesn't make sense. Look at the rest. But when you're that person, I do understand. And especially like I relate to that with the mental health work I'm doing, or like, am I reaching enough people? I said to someone the other day, it was like, and they looked at me a bit strangely, and I was like, I find it very hard because I often think, if I haven't done enough, what about the people I haven't helped? So for example, like the early support hubs, I've been campaigning for these hubs for like 3 years. We've got pilot hub funding. We've got 24 hubs literally being opened up now. We're going for national rollout. But if I'd have got the national rollout 2 or 3 years ago, I could be helping that eventual 500,000 kids a year earlier, whereas they're now not currently being helped.
Right.
And I know like people, but hang on, look what you're already doing. I get that argument, but in your head, that's very difficult to rationalize when you're like, yeah, but have I done enough? Could I have done more? Should I have pushed even harder? Should I be spending every single day on this? Am I doing enough?
Yeah, but at the same time, that mentality is what helps you grow as well.
That's the thing. If you don't have that drive, but there's somewhere between the lines. And I think that's what's really interesting in the self-care part. And we're talking about your skin step regime, but it's actually really fundamental, because throughout all of that, you have to keep yourself kind of centralized or grounded, I guess.
Grounded is the word.
Otherwise, if you're not grounded and you go with those ups and downs of life and that external stuff, then you can really get yourself, you can just spend your whole life swinging in emotions, can't you?
Yes. And you know, I'm originally from Canada, so when I'm like spiraling in some way and I'm becoming so consumed with things, my mum will say, just come home and get grounded. Yeah. And then after like 3 or 4 days, I'm like, oh, you know, God, it just feels so good. But not everyone has a thing that makes them feel grounded in that in that way. And obviously that would be like a bigger trip to go there and like to get grounded. Obviously we need to try to get grounded every day, sometimes every hour, and it's different depending on the day as well, right?
Would you say like the skincare routine is like a mini grounding?
It's a mini grounding.
Going home is a big grounding.
Going home is a big one, and I can't wait to go home soon.
So would you say to people listening then that, because I relate to that, the going home isn't, I love you parents, isn't necessary because it's very complex with a lot of stuff that's happening.
Sure.
I find it's not quite as easy as that, but I do have my big groundings and I have my little groundings. What would you advise to people in trying to find that?
Okay.
I mean, that makes sense to people, but how do you find out what those things can be?
You know, when I was 27, 28, I got out of a really long relationship. And I didn't know how to ground myself. I always had another person in my life. So that was sort of like the beginning of me trying to figure out who I and how to, I don't know if the terminology would be like self-soothe, but almost.
That is,
you know?
That is exactly what it is.
So I tried everything, yoga, Pilates, you know, whatever, pottery classes, I tried it all. But what I found works the best for me is stretching. Is such a good one. Do you stretch?
I do stretch with my running now, which I never used to do, and I've actually started getting a lot more flexible even just doing the stretch I've been doing. But what I notice when I stretch, you're also so focused on not trying to like tear your hamstring, but you actually really focus on that moment, and you breathe a lot as well. You breathe better
breathing.
When you're stretching.
Yeah, I get a little bit bored with just like breathing and meditating, but like for me, an active meditation, like walking, stretching, like walking out here right now is my favorite thing to do. I do it all the time with Effie, my dog.
So you're so stomping is passing.
Stomping.
Effie that's joined us as part of your grounding then.
For sure. If I don't go on like, well, first of all, my dog is really nervous and I hired a behaviorist to help me. And he called these types of walks decompression walks for the dog.
Yeah.
But actually, I honestly think it's for me. They say you get the dog you need, and I need decompressing.
We often find that with animals, you form this like understanding and connection where you, like, they get where you are,
yeah,
if that makes sense,
yeah.
And you kind of get where they are. And I think I have that quite a bit with Rolo. He's very calm, subtle. Someone said that yesterday, we're doing a shoot for just getting fresh photos and this kind of thing, just for press stuff or whatever. And the photographer was saying, it's like, he's very, very calm. And I was like, I think that's what I needed.
Right.
Someone just to really...
Are you a naturally calm person?
No, I don't think so. I'm quite a type A, high-driven, energy, not yeah. easy to sit still person, which has changed a little bit, actually. But he really helps, I think. My mind goes at a lot of speed.
Sure.
And it's very helpful, but it's also very much a hindrance sometimes. So you're like in a piece. So I think he really helps with that, for sure.
Oh, dogs are the best. I couldn't live without my dog. I mean, I had a dog before Effie. I had a greyhound, and he is like my soulmate. Rest in power to Reggie. But when I adopted Effie, I thought I wanted or needed a completely different type of dog. I was like, I just want a small dog that I can take everywhere with me, that I can put on a plane and like whatever. And then I ended up getting this dog that can't be left alone for more than 2 or 3 hours, like can't go to restaurants, can't do this. And she's really dragged me more into this like nature and slowing down, and just she's made me so patient. Whereas before I did not have a patient bone in my body.
Well, they say that everyone you meet teaches you something, but yeah. I think every dog you meet teaches you something as well.
Yeah.
Like we've got, I was saying that my parents have got 2 dogs, 2 spaniels. One of them is a rescue who really, really, really shy with humans, a really difficult start to life, but it does teach you kind of calm and patience around her to get her to calm down. I think there is something that you really take away.
Understanding, empathy. So yeah, I just need to apply all those things to myself.
So you think finding, sort of summarize, I guess, what we've talked about so far in part one, as we come to the end of this part. So you're saying that you think finding the self-care, whether it's the skin care or so on, it's kind of a bit of trial and error, effectively.
For sure. And there can be so many things, and you might be really into doing pottery for a few weeks and then you might not. And it's all about just really listening to yourself and what is making you happy. And I think finding pleasure in slowing down, or, you know, just doing things that don't feel like you're doing them because you have to, I think is so important.
It's kind of like anything that gets you out of your head.
Yes.
And doesn't feel like hard work.
Yes.
Or at least the only thing exception I'd say to that is that I find running is a really amazing one for me, and it definitely still feels like hard work,
yeah.
but in a kind of nurturing way, rather than like something that I'm dragging myself through. It's like I'm pushing through. I don't know. It's like a different
feeling.
Yeah,
running is its own sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like I did couch to 5K.
Awesome.
During the pandemic,
awesome.
Which is a long time ago. It was the hardest experience of my life.
Did you enjoy it though?
I enjoyed it. Sometimes, and other times no, but it was very rewarding,
it
I will
is.
Say.
You feel that kind of growth.
Yeah.
Well, I've enjoyed this stomp so far. We're working our way. I'm in my trainers. I always get my footwear clearly wrong. I need to get my rhythm. It's because I forgot my hiking boots today. I've usually got my boots on abs, but I didn't have them today.
We'll get back on the abs paved
the
path.
No, don't worry. It's fine. Listen, I'm not worried about that. These will just go straight in the wash. No worries at all. Anyway, guys, we'll come to the end of part one. In part two, we're going to be talking about antidepressants, anxiety, mental health, why we should be a bit more open and a bit kinder to ourselves. I actually got stopped, not today, it was yesterday, by someone talking about medication and how they were just so glad to kind of come across Post Your Pill, which is a campaign that started a few years ago, and seeing people sharing openly online, taking medication, realising actually okay, like if that's what you need, cool. Guys, we'll see you all very soon. Goodbye.
If you're looking for more mental fitness content, check out my book, The Mind Manual, Mental Fitness Tools for Everyone, and A Better Day and A Better Day Journal for Children. And if you have a man in your life, or indeed if you're a man listening to this, make sure you check out Mettle, the app, M-E-T-T-L-E, mental fitness tools that are designed for men. Download now.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.